The chicken thanks.
Welcome to Shootzoo, the podcast. Jobs and networking for professional photography and video crews. Join the zoo at shootzoo.com.
Hey, it's Turbo here. Welcome to Shootzoo, the podcast. Shootzoo is a new platform developed for photography and video production professionals, and we are live and ready for action to Australian users. You can sign up now at shootzoo.com to find crew and be crew.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, hello, you. Could you Photoshop our...
Join the zoo. Shootzoo.com.
This week on Shootzoo the podcast, Laura is talking to Leanne Bertram from Little Big Adventures. With over a decade of personal experience in photographing hundreds of families, businesses, products and events, she now focuses the last 4 years on photographing daycares, kinders and preschools all across Victoria in Australia.
So I first found out about your talents when you photographed my oldest daughter at childcare, and you captured the innocence and the joy of a little girl who didn't really like other adults at the time. So I knew there was something special there. But now I get to meet you in person. So welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you specialise in kinder photos.
I do.
In Melbourne, Australia?
Only in Melbourne.
And how did you get into photography?
Photography in general?
Yes.
Okay, so we've always had SLRs, pre-DSLR, and I used to just take pictures of herbs and gardens, because I do love gardening, and flowers and macros. But, of course, I'd fill up, you know, all these frames, and then you'd have to take it to be developed. And so I really didn't take too many because it was very expensive. And our SLR was stolen. And so they said, we don't have that model anymore. You have to go to digital. It's all digital now. So I got this digital camera.
And it changed.
And I was like, well, I can take 18,000 pictures of this herb, which was ridiculous. So all self-taught with, you know, plenty of industry help and backing, of course, and training as I went through. But it was basically changing from that film format to digital.
And what were you doing before that, so from a career perspective?
So I've always been in sales and marketing, but in the paper and print industry. So I've always had that side of things, you know, and always looking at art and print and paper and all of that, I guess.
Yeah. And have you found that that's changing a lot? So obviously DSLRs, prints, people sometimes don't print a lot. Have you seen any of that sort of change in the photography industry?
Well, people expect digitals now, and I'm actually happy to supply them because especially in a lot of Melbourne where I tend to get a lot of my work, there is a lot of expats and they have family in the UK or, you know, anywhere around the world or even in Dubbo, and they like to be able to share their images with grandma and auntie, and they like to print them anywhere in the world. So because I sell on a digital platform, they can download those in London or America or anywhere really, which is really good actually. So,
yeah. And how did you get into kinder photography? So you went from herbs to
children.
No, there was
quite a lot of stuff in between. So when I got pregnant, I worked, print was a very boyish sort of industry and not many women came back from having babies. It wasn't, the hours weren't great. And because I was in sales and marketing, you know, you get up early and you work really hard and you stay late and you're always working, which is what I do now. But there's no, it's not a 9-to-5 sort of job. I was doing repping and then I came in internally and I was doing, you know, sales on the phone. So I didn't come back and I've always worked and I'm not very good at sitting still and relaxing and things like that. So I really wanted to do something, and I was inspired by a very well-known children's photographer, I guess, Barb Yule, who does Jinky Art in Canberra, and I did one of her seminars back in 2009. And she is just an amazing inspiration, and she takes beautiful, whimsical photos of children and very artistic work, and she's just a lovely person to boot. And then I did a lot of families, and I did a lot of not so much children, but families as a whole, families at the beach, families in the park, and a lot of family photography, a little bit of commercial photography, a little bit of, you know, corporate headshots, a bit of food photography there for a while. I touched on pretty much everything. You know, I get a little bit bored sometimes, I think. But the thing about being bored all the time is that I can't do that with children, because every day is... I don't know.
You don't know what you're going
to
get.
I have to, you know, a lot of photographers are very particular about photographing only at sunset and sunrise, and, you know, I don't get that luxury. I have to go into an area that might have green fake turf, red sailcloth, and, you know, bright garish play equipment, and I have to try and find a location in there that isn't going to have colour cast on the child's face and light them, so I don't have to do too much post-production work. So
and
it's
have a
always
child
a challenge.
That actually wants to be photographed.
Well, they don't. They want to play with their friends, they want to run away, or they just don't like you.
Yes.
So it really, I really enjoy that daily challenge of I don't know, so I don't get bored. I haven't been bored.
And how do you get kids to be natural in photos?
Oh, I have no pride. So I am very ridiculous, and that's not even my natural self, by the way. It's only I have two personas. I have my quiet at-home persona, and then I have the one that I bring out in the playground that only the, you know, the kindergarten set get to see, I guess. And, you know, there's smells, there's bottoms, you know, I make up silly rhymes, I sing silly songs, and I just get down on their level and I play with them. So that's something that I actually tell to educators when they're booking me. I say, look, I'm not like other photographers. I'm not going to set them up on a stool. I'm not going to plonk them into six different positions and say, smile. I'm actually going to play with them and see what they do. So if they like playing in the sandpit, I'm in the sandpit. If they want to climb a tree, I love it when they climb a tree. Hopefully they will climb a tree. I love it when they're up in the trees.
I wish my kids would climb trees. They're just too risk averse.
Maybe.
The second one will.
Mm. The first one, not so much. And tell me about a time that it's all gone wrong. So you've gone into a kinder and just a series of events. Has it ever happened?
Not with the children. I do communicate very well with kindergartens, but so I have many, many bosses. I've got the person that booked me, so that's the director that would like someone to do a beautiful job for their kindergarten so they look good. Then I have all these different staff members in different rooms, and some of these centres have, you know, up to 10 rooms, quite a lot. So I've got all those personalities. I've got to keep them happy. And eventually, so the children, they have to like me. And often I'm only getting 5 minutes with them because we're competing with sunscreen and hats, which they take forever to put on and off. Then allowed, you know, they're sleeping and they're eating, and in between that you've got to try and find that happy space. And it might be, you know, too hot or too cold, like raining some different centres. So, and then in the end I have to please the parents because they're the ones that actually pay my bills. So, you know, that's pretty tricky.
And you don't get to meet the parents either, do you? So it's all based on your photography.
Absolutely. So if they don't like what I do, I don't get paid. So it's as simple as that. And hopefully, you know, I take good photos that they're going to love, because you don't have to buy anything with me. You can choose to buy nothing. I can do all that work for nothing. That's perfectly fine. But it all balances out in the wash. But probably the only time when it does go wrong is when I might meet a personality perhaps that just is really anti-photography, and it's very rare, but someone who's maybe had a bad experience in the past or doesn't like photographers because they feel it ruins the day. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I'm trying to communicate with them that if I don't get a picture of this child, you know, their parents are actually quite invested in expecting it, and you know, especially because
you have to go through signing of model releases of sorts. You need to get the parents' permission. Yeah, it would be quite disappointing for the parent if someone was standing in their way, wouldn't it?
I know. And when you say I don't get to talk to them, that's the other thing too. Once I leave the centre, and I actually sometimes joke with educators about this, I'll say, oh, you know, you can just blame me when I leave, because they can, because they are the last word. So if something goes wrong, they'll just say, oh, well, the photographer didn't take any pictures of her. Mightn't be true. Usually isn't true. But, yeah, and this sort of scenario, though, that would be very rare. I don't come across a lot of negativity at all.
Which is good, because in your arena you need to be positive and full of zest and full of life, which you definitely are. Are you finding it a competitive industry in the kinder space?
I think it's really growing at the moment. It seems to be an area that people are looking over at and thinking, I could do that. And good children, good luck to them, because...
how hard could it be?
Well, I do get a lot of people, you know, inquiring or saying, oh, I take lovely pictures of my children. Can I come work for you? And it's certainly different doing a couple of children on the weekend or in a family session than it is doing, you know, 200 in a childcare setting, and they all go to sleep at 11:30.
And they're all in each other's spaces as well. It's not as if it's a huge centre, most of them. So.
No, they are small spaces, and I can't have other children in the photo, so I have to be very good at angles and contorting myself a bit, I think, or just getting very soft backgrounds with sharp children.
And you do family photography. You've talked about that. So what is the happiness and satisfaction chart you speak of in your website?
Happiness and satisfaction. I haven't done family for a little while. I've been passing them off to my second shooters as a gift. I do get inquiries. So happiness and satisfaction. Did I really say that?
You did say that. What do you think that means for families and children? You know, what are you trying to achieve for them when they get their photos?
Well, you know, what they really want is the one picture of them all together looking
the same
gorgeous.
Way.
Looking the same way. So you always make sure you get that one, because that's the one they will buy, even when they say they want natural pictures where they're not looking and everything. If you just only supply that, they will be disappointed and they'll be like, oh, we thought there might be a picture of us all looking at the camera. So they say they want unposed, but you always have to do some posed pictures as well.
So some gentle posing.
Yeah, gentle posing. But I haven't done families for a little while. I'm just too busy with the kinders. So I'm trying, you know, no weekends.
Oh, good. So you've got rules. So because you're a working mum as well. Mm-hmm. So have you put rules in from the start, or is this something that's evolved throughout the course
Evolved, because I am quite open to suggestion. So people can wear me down quite easily like that when they're like, oh, please. And I'm like, oh, gosh, okay, all right. So I've gotten a lot harsher. But my boys play basketball all Saturday, and I'm managing their teams this year because I don't have enough on my plate.
Why not?
I know. So that's really nice, actually. So that's actually downtime watching them play and everything, and not something I thought I'd be interested in. But there's absolutely, positively no time for anyone else on the weekends now.
And they're older. So you've got a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be, you know, teens that may not want to talk to mum as much soon.
Hopefully not.
Yes. So you do have to spend that time together.
Yeah, they're still sweet at the moment.
I know, they'd be a good age. Yeah.
Year 9's supposed to be a bit, you know,
I don't know. 15.
He's still so sweet at the moment, though. I can't see it happening.
Maybe he'll be fine.
I hope so.
Just maybe his friends.
Yeah.
And you've talked about the importance of ratings and testimonials. Do you find that people aren't that forthright in giving testimonials?
Do you know what? I get so much positive feedback to my face and via emails, or just even reply to galleries, you know, when they place this little note where they can place their order and they say, thank you so much. And a couple of times when people have said really sweet things, I've actually said, oh, that's so lovely. If you're actually on, you know, this platform or that platform, you know, would you mind just... But they don't.
Why?
I, I actually think, I've spoken about it with a few friends, and we think that maybe, you know, I think that Facebook, especially recently, had that big downturn of, you know, they lost a lot of confidence in people, and we think that maybe they're not actually on the same platforms to the same extent they used to be. Yeah. But, I've gotten over that a little bit because I do try different things just to test the waters on what people are. And, that didn't work so well. So I've put that to a side, and I'll be creating a new website in the new year. And I thought, well, I'll just write up their testimonials that they've emailed to me, and I'll put them up on my new website rather than having them type them up.
Exactly. And I think there is a degree to small business support. They don't know how to support a small business mm-hmm. as well. So they don't realise it's quite important actually be able to show other people that you're a trusted person, because, you know, if they're working with a corporate, they can't see any issue with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's quite frustrating.
Well, it is. I mean, one of the things that you would know, you know, and I do have sign-up permissions, and they tick a little box that says, you know, I'd love to see a sneak peek of my child on social media. So I pop them up. And they don't look, or if they look, maybe they're privately sharing them or something, but you don't get that, I'm not getting that reciprocal, you know, push.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I just like posting them because I like sharing them anyway.
Yeah, I like every time I go back through your gallery to find one from 2 years ago so that I can post on there again.
Oh, yeah.
But some people just don't see the need to comment, post, like.
I know.
I don't understand it. So you've also talked about you've dabbled in lots of different areas of photography. Have you ever had to walk away from an inquiry that was just not the right fit?
I'd say plenty of times, yes. You get that demanding feel that's just escalating, sort of, you know, can you do this? And you say, yeah, I could do that for you. I could, you know, and then they say, well, can you do this now? And you're thinking, well, that's completely different than what you asked me the first time. I'm hoping, you know, do you still want that deal for whatever that set amount was? Because now you're asking, that's a $500 job, and now you're asking me for a $3,000 job. You know, that's a big difference in what you're asking. So, I've walked away from jobs where I've just said, look, you know, I don't know. It depends on where the inquiry is going. You can either just say, look, I'm not going to be available then, or, you know, maybe it's out of my comfort zone. So, you know, I pass on to colleagues in the industry that might be better suited for the inquiry. But, yeah, if someone gets a bit, you just get a feel for who's right. And
so the gut feel is really important to listen to that.
Oh, absolutely.
And did you do that at the start, or was it at the start you were?
At the start, I probably photographed anybody and everybody that came through to me, because there probably wasn't that many people at the start. So, you know, just people taking a punt on a newbie, which was great. Not sure. I mean, they loved their pictures. I'm not sure if I would look back at them and feel like I did that great a job, but, you know, and sometimes I look back at work actually from the early days and I think, do you know what? I actually wasn't that bad. That's pretty good work. I could probably stand by that today. But yeah, not all of it.
Not all of it at all. And the confidence wasn't necessarily there.
Well, I worked a lot harder as well. So I would take one picture and then I would obsess over that for a very long time because I'd be worried about what you'd think of it and have I made any mistakes and is it worth it? And, you know, I want you to be happy so you don't hate me. So there was a lot
that
more.
Wears you down.
yes, it couldn't work like that for very long. So as you build up confidence, of course, you feel a lot more confident about what you're putting out there, a lot faster. Like when I take a good picture and I look in the back of my camera and I go, oh well, yeah, that's good, I don't have to do anything to that frame, you know, I don't have to, I don't know, mask out things or adjust things.
Digging deep into the minds of the industry's best. Shutsu, the podcast.
After all you put me through, you think I despise you. But in the end, I want to thank you, because you made me that much stronger.
When I thought I knew you, thinking that you were true, I guess I couldn't trust. Caught your bluff, taught me so, cause I've had enough.
Cause you'll breathe, so we out of shame. Now the role of the state. bit faster, made my skin a little bit thicker, makes me that much smarter. Thanks for making me a fighter.
Welcome back to Shutsu, the podcast, getting into minds of photo and video professionals around the world. Today on the podcast, Laura is talking to Leanne from Little Big Adventures, who specializes in daycares, kinder, and preschool photography.
And sales and marketing as a background, has that really helped you in your business? So you have to put yourself out there to get kinders to sign you up.
Yeah.
Has that been helpful?
I love it. I just love, you know, people are scared of cold calling, and I love a cold call. I have to be in the mood for it. I wouldn't do it as a day job. But if I've made up my mind that I need to get X amount of jobs, you know, and the beauty about working for myself is if I do need extra money or something, I did some headshots a few years ago because I was a bit bored. I had some time off and I was like, oh, it's winter, I'm a bit quiet, I'll do some headshots. And I put out a, you know, just a one day only, this price, this location, be there. And people came. And there you go. So it filled in a lull for me. And I got the money to pay some bills or whatever I had to do, whatever I wanted to do. So I have the luxury of being able to just, that's sort of a bit like cold calling in a way, just putting yourself out there and saying, hey, I'm here. Why would you not take up this offer? Because it's great. Come see me.
And do you find, so cold calling, people don't answer their phones these days more. Is it getting harder?
Well, I'm calling businesses. So I'm calling childcare centres.
So they should probably
answer their phone. So they do answer the phone. They can fob me off, which is fine, and because I am essentially a cold call and that can be annoying, I understand that. Usually they're quite receptive. Sometimes they've got a just send us something and we'll file it away for if we're ever interested in the future, which again is fine. But sometimes I hit them just as they've had a really bad episode with their previous supplier, or they're looking to change, or, you know, they know of me and they go, oh yeah, good, I've actually been meaning to call you. So that's nice as well. So
it's not dead yet. The cold calling, because everyone always talks about it, like, don't cold call, don't spam people.
But well, yeah, no, it's not spamming.
It's not spam because, yeah.
I only do it the once, and then I'll send them out some information and then they can file that. If they did express that maybe call me in February, I would call them in February. Yeah. I would mark that down and I would do that. But other than that, there's so much business out there. I don't need to annoy people that aren't interested.
Wouldn't want to annoy them either, would you?
No.
It's not the right business idea. So you're a planner in your business and you run on adrenaline. You've said that yourself. How critical is it to take some time out for yourself?
Probably more critical than I allow for. I tend to just collapse into a bit of a heap every now and then. The adrenaline only lasts so long.
Yeah.
So I go through periods where I'm just like, and when I know I'm in one of those periods, I do all the things. So I edit all the kids and I get all that out of the way because I know that then I'm just going to sit on the couch for a couple of days just zombieing out. So I prepare for that. So it works out well.
And do you... you also give an opportunity to a lot of other photographers who are interested in the children's space. So that's important to you as well.
I love it. I really do. I find it really exciting. Like I said, there's plenty of work out there and the people I meet are so sweet and passionate and we feed off each other. So, you know, I'll say, come out with me. Usually they spend a day with me, or not a day, but a few hours just seeing how I work. And I'm talking because I've got no time to mentor or help people outside the kinder arena because that's where I am every day. So I say, come out with me, and they follow me around the yard and we walk and we talk and we walk and we talk and I shoot, and then they'll ask me questions and I'll be talking to the child, I'll be talking to them, and it just sort of works that way. And, you know, then they usually come out and trial a day with me and, you know, it's good. And a lot of them actually work for their own businesses too, or they're starting up, or they actually second shoot for lots of other people. So I've got, you know, one of my girls is I think she's pretty much a professional second shooter for other people, and that's what she likes to do. She does a bit of wedding, does a bit of kinder.
But she doesn't like the editing part or something. So
who would?
No, I know.
I don't understand people that say they love editing.
No, no, I've had one podcast where she's like, I love editing.
Like, that's a skill. And it's great that there are people out there that love it.
I'd love it if I had to do less of it. So if I was doing, say, maybe fine art or something and just doing a studio session and doing something where I just had to, you know, make a real piece of art, I think that would be really enjoyable, you know, making one piece of art.
But not, yeah, multiple children, 200 children
not,
a day.
No.
And so you've talked about the onboarding process for new photographers. Do you find a lot realise it's actually quite a hard gig and don't come back? Or are they already passionate about children before they even talk to you?
There is a high burnout rate because it is a lot more work than people expect, especially if they've come from doing family photography and just, you know, beautiful portraits in the park where they've, you know, got more control. So when you're posing a family and you can make them look beautiful against that bridge and you've got the light right and you're posing and it's sunset and you've got everything and you take those pictures and they're stunning. And then you come into a kinder situation from that calmness to, you know, there's 20 kids in the yard, they're running around, there's usually some argy-bargy going on over here and someone's crying over there, not for long usually, and it's chaos and they're like, I don't know how you do it. A lot of people, that is a very common thing. They go, I can't do this. This is crazy. You do this every day. This is enough for me, you know. So it either feeds you or it
depletes you.
yeah. But some people can do it in very short bursts. So they're happy to help out every now and then, but they don't want to do it all the time. No thanks. Yeah.
Now let's talk about the photo industry as a whole. So you've said you moved from SLRs to DSLRs. What are the biggest changes you've seen in the industry since you started?
The amount of people that are actually working as photographers now. So it's much more accessible. And you can be a lot more creative as well. So talking about niches, some people really do some amazing, crazy stuff. I don't know if they're actually earning any money because it is quite niche and I think they do it sometimes for their own art, which is great. I prefer to get paid. So, you know, my work probably is less arty, of course. But, you know, I get a lot of joy from, you know, the work I do with knowing full well that it's not award-winning, you know, fine art or amazingly photoshopped and perfected. Yeah, just brilliance. But I do like seeing what a lot of other people do, a lot of very talented people out there. And back in the old days, you know, you just used to see, you know, fine art books from photographers that you'd pick up or magazines. And it was a lot, the world was a lot more further away back then. It's now right there in your face every day. And someone new's coming through the ranks and you're like, wow, are they really using an entry-level camera that they've just picked up last week? What's going on? Yeah. You know, they're really talented and you're thinking, is that a trick?
Yeah. You
know, how can they be that good?
I've been doing that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
It is, yeah. There are a lot of people out there and there's a lot of competition as well. Do you find there's a lot of people out there that are claiming to be photographers but haven't perfected the skills as yet?
Yeah. Also, I think there's a lot of people that like to call themselves photographers, but they're not working. They just like to say, I'm a photographer. So they don't have clients. They like taking photos, which is fine. And there is a lot of people that will put their put themselves out there before they're ready, but I did too. So as long as you don't get any trouble along the way and you don't oversell your product, I guess there's going to be a market for you. I've seen some very good photographers that definitely undersell their product. They should be charging a lot more for what they're providing, which is a bit sad because, when someone's very talented is selling at an appropriate price range, that have been doing it for many years and perfected their art and their craft, and then someone who is just naturally talented comes in and sells the same thing, and you're lying. And I see them online, they're just saying, do you know what, I'd be lying if I said that she was a hack, because she's in my town, in my area, looking at my clients, and her work's really good. So what am I supposed to do about that?
And she's undercutting it.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and sometimes with experience, because it's a big buzz to get that first order, even if it's for $50, you know, and you're, it can be, you know, and then you're getting all this work because you're cheap. And so there can be burnout. You know, sometimes those people leave, but sometimes the repercussions of what's happened, you know, remains, I guess.
I think it's important to understand it. It's an expensive industry, so there's a lot of sunk costs, a lot of fixed costs that you can't get away from. And people that undercut that too much just aren't going to be able to pay the bills at the end of the day.
No. Well, a lot of people, they're not insured as well, so they're not paying insurance. They're not...
Well, I don't think they've had the bad experience of not being insured and something bad going wrong as well.
They don't. I don't think it enters their thoughts that something would go wrong. What could go wrong when you're photographing somebody in a park? So you wouldn't think...
Tripping over something.
But
breaking a bridge.
I know, they wouldn't think of it though. No. So they just think, I'll be okay. So until something actually happens, you know, I don't think it would enter their mind. They just, you know, they don't have overheads, a lot of them.
Yeah, which makes it hard for an established business that does.
Yeah, the bricks and mortar businesses especially, I'm not one, but I would find that that would be especially hard, I'm sure.
Yeah, a lot of those have disappeared over the years as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to have a portrait studio or something like that. I think it'd be fantastic. But I've seen a lot, you know, open and close, and it's not the work I do anyway, because my work is in the field, so I don't need that. But I'm not competing with those people. But it'd be nice if there was more studios.
10 years ago, like weddings, you'd go into the studio and you'd pick your photos and you'd have a conversation, and it would all be about the experience of designing your album. That's really disappeared a bit.
So. It has. Do you think it might come around again, though?
I think so. I think there are some niche... there's definitely some photographers out there that pride themselves, obviously, in the printed photo and the albums. And there's nothing better than actually having prints up or an album to flick through.
Yeah.
Like, I still... Like, I'm guilty of not printing out, I think, the last 2 years of my children's lives. However, having those physical albums, everyone loves to flick through those.
Mm. That's why I always buy. People say, why do you buy your children's kinder and school photos? And I'm like, because someone else is doing that job for me.
You have to.
And it's just, for one, I like to give back. You know, I'm respecting that they've come in and done a job for me, and it's like a reward. Thank you for photographing my child. But I'm not going to. I take one picture of my kids per year, pretty much. It's the Christmas photo.
Yeah.
And the rest of the year I pretty much ignore them. So... it's nice when someone else takes their pictures for me. Yeah. And they print it and they do the work and they Photoshop out the snot if there's any snot.
Well, when I was little, this is a sob story, but my mum lost my kinder photos.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to purchase every single year because I need to make up for the fact that I don't have my kinder photos.
They still could be around somewhere.
We've searched. I searched every year. Disappointing. It was back in the era of no digital, so
yeah,
I believe them that they purchased them, I hope.
Oh, you mean you never saw them?
I only saw one.
Oh,
you being in front of the camera, how important is that?
Oh, I hate pictures of myself.
Every photographer does.
Oh dear. Yes. Yeah, can you just give me that digital and I will take it back and say that now that is something I'll work a lot of Photoshop on. That's something that I will perfect. I'll be like, oh yes. a lot of detail there. It is important, and actually I am due for family photos fairly soon, I think, because it's we're going through a stage where we're all growing up and changing, and our last family photo proper was... Goodness. Well, my oldest son was missing teeth, so he was, yeah, my youngest was probably 2, so quite a few years ago.
Wow.
They are lovely photos, though, and I do look at them a lot, so, yeah.
But, yeah, in the blink of the eye, they'll be in their 20s.
You don't want to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not true. At home. Not We're getting home. Pimples now, so I shouldn't have said that, should I? He won't listen.
So speed round. So here I just throw something out and you just come back with whatever comes to the top of your mind as quickly as possible. What are the two words that describe your photo style?
Natural and bright.
What's the most important thing in your kit besides your camera?
Besides my camera, can it be a lens?
Possibly.
Besides my camera. Well, there's not much in my camera bag, so it would be my, yeah, my 70 to 200 lens. I do love it. It's all I use.
Cats. Much. Why do you love them?
Oh, God, I just love cats. It's really sad, really. I've always had a cat, and I've had up to three, and now I've got two. They're just so cuddly. They make me happy.
They indoor
they
cats?
They calm me. They're indoor and outdoor. They're indoor at night and during the day when we're not at home, and on the weekends they sort of just kick back. Very lazy.
Projects at home, love them or hate them?
Love. Home is my base, so I'm always sort of looking for something to zhuzh up, or, you know, I love buying plants, love hanging out at Bunnings. Yeah.
And being at home by yourself or with the family?
A bit of both, because we're all fairly in our own space, so it can be a little bit like being by yourself. My husband might be watching TV and my kids might be, you know, Xboxing, and I might be editing, so the house is pretty quiet. It's nice.
Different to your working environment?
Working, yes, when I'm at the kinders, absolutely. So, yeah, pretty quiet at home. Nice.
And singing as a guilty pleasure, favourite song?
I make up my own songs. I don't know. It just depends on usually what I've heard on the radio. Sometimes I like songs with bad words in them, because it just feels really naughty to sing a bad word, which I don't do at kinder. Actually, I said to my husband, I said, at least I won't swear during this, because I'm so used to using words like, oh, goodness gracious me. I don't swear anymore. It's quite funny.
So that's good, because when I drop things, I say, oh, shit. So Sebastian, 20 months, he used to drop something and goes, shit. I'm like, please don't enunciate so well.
Yeah, yeah.
How do I stop this?
Yeah, no, I say, oh, goodness gracious me. So I'm very not who I used to be. Quite funny, actually.
Where is the best place in the world that you photographed?
San Sebastian.
I love San Sebastian.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
We would move there if we could work out a way of being there.
It's anywhere just, in Europe.
Yeah, but San Sebastian has a...
It's amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What's best, word of mouth or other forms of marketing?
Love word of mouth. That's basically been my whole career. Yeah.
And where do you see your business in 5 years?
I still see myself doing what I'm doing, but I would like to have some more helpers. And I don't know, I'm always dabbling. So, you know, I'm always like, oh, I should do an ebook. And so I've got reams of notes on things that I've half worked on over the years, workshops, ebooks. But I couldn't stop working. I'm not very good at stopping working. I'd always have to have my fingers in the pie.
So you've signed up to Shoot Zoo. What would you see Shoot Zoo, what problem could it solve for you?
I really like the way that I don't have to worry if someone is insured. I thought that was a really big thing. I thought, oh, great. But, you know, finding someone in the area or, you know, in a pinch, maybe, perhaps, that can come and work for me, because quite often, you know, I do need someone. And actually that is something that I would like to expand, come to think of it. Because if I had someone I trusted that could do, I get so many inquiries I turn away. At the moment, at this time of year, I'm turning away 3 people a day that haven't booked anything for their kinder photos. I'm like, it's really late in the year. There is nothing left.
So you get lots of last-minute kinder photos.
They don't think it's last minute. I do try and educate them.
Yeah.
Because I say, look, you book in February.
Yeah.
February, March is when all the good centres book for May and October. They're the two popular months. But anything else in between, and I always leave a few spots open at the end of the year for new business, but they fill up fast. And then I have these people going, oh, do you have it? And you're like, wow, you know, I guess they think that we're all huge businesses.
Yeah.
Like school photographers.
But school photographers are big businesses.
They are.
Are they?
They are, yes. Yep. But one of the biggest ones, School Picks, used to do daycare centres, and they don't do them anymore.
Oh.
So I'm assuming it's just not worth it for them with the amount of, you know, it's a lot of admin. There's a lot of juggling involved, and
it's very different as well. It's like school pictures.
School is just your blue background.
Your pose.
Get up there, smile, move on. You know, that has its challenges too, but it's not the same as kinder. And then you do the group photos. So group photos, oh my gosh, I should have touched on those, bane of my life anyway.
Oh, yeah, you do group photos for their... How do you pose them? Because it just amazes me every time I see them. Most of them are fine.
I shoot very fast. Usually the first frame is the one that works before you've taken, when you're still pretending that you're looking in the back of the camera and you're like, oh, hang on a minute, oh. And, you know, I've already taken it and the teacher's like, oh, are you ready now? And already kids are picking their noses, they're looking at their mates. One kid's walked off and it's already gone to chaos. So you've only got a very short period of time and there's still usually a couple of head swaps. A couple of kids or, you know.
I always wanted to know that, yeah, because I can't get my children, to look at the camera the best of days.
Not perfect either. So there is sometimes, you know, children looking away, but as long as most of the children are looking,
yeah, they're not
semi-interested.
Moving.
Exactly. But, oh, my goodness, yeah, it's a speed shooting.
Thank you so much for joining Shoot Sue tonight, and thank you for having a wine with me. We haven't actually had our wine, but thank you very much.
Thank you. Shoot Sue.
Well, that's it. Thanks for joining us in the zoo. Stay tuned for our next episode at shootzoo.com.